We are three stable geniuses sitting around a table talking sports. This is Around the Interruption. Dan Masser, Josh Arno, Matt Lodi. Gentlemen, good to be back with you.
Great to be here.
It's episode two. And there's plenty to talk about, and there's a lot to get into with the Patriots and some drama. There was the ESPN report basically saying there's trouble in paradise between Bob, Bill, and Tom, and that this could be the end of the road. Let's get your thought first, Matt, then Josh, then I'll jump in, and we'll dive in here.
I mean, there's no doubt in my mind that there's trouble, right? I think there's got to be. I think that you can't go 18 years without egos getting involved. I think the story is complete BS, however, because there's no way that they're going to allow a little bit of egomaniacism, and I just created that word on the spot,
love it,
is going to get in the way of what they've accomplished. Bill Belichick is not going to leave the New England Patriots for the New York Giants. Tom Brady is not going to be traded in the offseason. This is not going to be the end of the run. The reason for that is, why would these guys go 18 years and all of a sudden Bill Belichick's going to decide he wants to restart everything, that Bill Belichick is all of a sudden friends with Roger Goodell, that Tom Brady's relationship with Alex Guerrero is going to put a complete end to what they've built for 18 years? There's no way.
So I started off wanting to not believe this story.
Did you read it?
I haven't read all of it. I have read, big excerpts from it. But here's the thing. This got out. Stuff never gets out of the Patriots camp. And so there has to be, in my mind, some truth to it. Now, there's some total BS in there. Like you said, Belichick is not friends with Roger Goodell. I don't care what anyone says. And Tom Brady is certainly not complaining about not winning Player of the Week. Like, that stuff, that's bull crap, in my opinion. But again, the fact that this got out, someone's leaking it, whether it be, I've heard a lot of people say Belichick's leaking it, kind of.
That's what I was going to say, because a lot of it looks bad for Brady and Kraft and makes Belichick look like the victim, as far as Brady being sensitive about Bill's coaching style,
right,
as far as, Brady being upset about Garoppolo and forcing Belichick to trade Garoppolo. Mm. It makes Bill look good, like the victim, and it makes Tom look like a baby,
right,
and it makes Kraft look bad. So maybe Belichick's, not necessarily Belichick, but the people around Belichick are the sources of this story. Maybe even it is Belichick who's the source of the story.
But they said that there has to be some involvement with sources within the organization, right? Because how else would Wickersham, who wrote the piece, get all this information? Do I believe that Bill Belichick was forced to trade Jimmy Garoppolo because Kraft wanted to go with Brady? Yes, I believe that. Do I believe that Bill Belichick wanted to trade Tom Brady within the next 2 years and go with Jimmy Garoppolo? Yes, I believe that. Do I believe that Bill Belichick is upset with what's happened? Yes, I believe that Bill Belichick is infuriated with what's going on, but I don't think it's going to end something that he's built here, right? There was, go back a couple years ago when the Football Life film was thrown out there, right, where he would be, he was all nostalgic about what the New York Giants meant to him and going back to where it all started. I grade this report, whatever you want to call it, the article from Wickersham and everything that's come out since, as fake news.
The perfect scenario for Belichick and for Kraft would have been, this is Tom Brady's final season, they win their sixth Super Bowl, and then they hand over the team to Garoppolo. But because Brady is not even human and is going to play till he's 45, or thinks he's going to play till he's 45, I think he's going to play a couple more years. 45, we'll see. But because that's, the reality right now with Tom Brady, Belichick's hands were tied. They had to do something with Garoppolo. They couldn't keep both of these guys on the roster. It just wasn't going to work.
Well, so right now, I know this was your final point last week was Garoppolo. Right now, it looks like a mistake. I mean, Brady hasn't looked good for 5 weeks, and Garoppolo has looked amazing. As far as what it means for the Patriots long term, Belichick, I wouldn't be surprised. Belichick's the kind of guy where he would get out before Brady's window fully closes, only because he would want him. He's the kind of guy who holds a grudge and likes to make a point. He would be like, all right, well, you told me I can't have Garoppolo and can't go for another 10 years with this whole thing. I'm out then. Belichick seems like that kind of guy to me, where he would say, well, it's either my way or the highway, and he hits the highway because Kraft is getting involved now. Do I see that happening this year or next year? No. But I think if Brady continues this kind of steady decline that we're seeing towards the end of this season, I wouldn't be surprised if Belichick gets out before Brady.
But I keep circling back to the reports of him in the New York Giants. If that were to be hold any water, right, why would Bill Belichick leave the Patriots, regardless of how he feels about Brady or Kraft or whatever's gone on, and go coach the New York Giants, who have a 37-year-old quarterback in Eli Manning?
The people that want to tell you that the Giants thing is real, it will say that.
Okay, so he's going to go. Then they're going to go draft who? Allen or Rosen or Darnold? Good luck, because none.
But
of
also, imagine what Bill Belichick could do with the number two pick as far as stockpiling more picks, because that's what Bill loves to do.
But if he went to New York, there's no way that he's. I don't think he'd make that pick. Right? Does he make that pick? I don't know. I just don't think – there's no way he's going anywhere. Right? He's going to retire before he's the head coach.
I think it's more likely that Bill just gets fed up and just ends up retiring after this season or after next season than goes and coaches somewhere else.
I totally agree with that. I think the Giants thing is out of the question. He'd be going to the same situation with an aging quarterback and having to start the process all over again. And I don't think Belichick would ever want to coach a player like Odell Beckham Jr. or half the cornerbacks they have on that team who've all been suspended at some point this season, if I'm not mistaken.
But if Belichick were to leave and go to the Giants and win with the Giants, then that just adds to his – I mean, he's already the best coach of probably all time. He's obviously a Hall of Famer, but that's just going to add to – the aura of Bill Belichick.
And I think there is something, I think, to Belichick probably wanting to prove that he could win a championship without Tom Brady, and that was why he was so in love with Jimmy Garoppolo,
right,
and was, I think, so looking forward to testing that in the coming years after they moved on from Brady and Garoppolo took over. Now that's been taken away from him, and I think he's upset about it. Now they can draft a quarterback in this year's draft, and he can start that process over again, but I think he felt like he had the next guy, and he was forced to trade him.
Now, explain this to me. Garoppolo is a restricted free agent at the end of the year, correct? Is that how that works?
He would have to be franchise tagged. If he's not, he's a regular straight up free agent.
So do we look at Garoppolo maybe? You know what I'm saying?
You're saying that maybe Garoppolo will come back to the Patriots.
I'm not saying I believe that. But wait, would you put it past the Patriots?
I would
put it past the Patriots?
I mean,
Brady still has what, a year?
I think he still has 2 years left on his
2018
deal.
And 2019.
Yeah. And Garoppolo is going to be at least franchised by the 49ers, which then in turns to him having to wait that out, and then that kind of goes into flux. And there's no way he's turning down $25 million. Plus, my opinion is the 49ers are going to go to Jimmy Garoppolo and give him a five-year, six-year deal in the offseason, pay him a ridiculous, make Brock Osweiler's contract look like, you know, the smallest contract in NFL history, and go out there and blow him away, and might make him a top-five paid quarterback in the NFL.
Releasing Brady at the end of the season and then somehow going and bringing Jimmy Garoppolo back to New England is bigger fantasy land than Belichick going to the New York Giants.
Right.
Well, no, for sure. I mean, like I said, do you ever hold these things, like, out of the Patriots' realm of possibility? I mean, they've pulled off stuff like this before, where it's like, you know, they get rid of a guy and then 3 years later he's back here he's better.
I will say, as a fan of the New England Patriots, I am not thrilled with Tom Brady, right? I think he, for the first X amount of years of his career, he did a phenomenal job of just being, you know, fly under the radar with just his talent, never spoke much. He did his interviews and it went by the wayside. Then he went to the TB12 method. It was about the books. It was about, all of a sudden, the commercials. I like the Tom Brady that just does the WEI interviews, does the Westwood One interviews, and you don't see him the rest of the week. You don't hear from the rest of the week.
You don't like his Instagram post?
They claim it's not him. But I just think Tom Brady has gone a little bit too far in trying to push his own personal post-career agenda, and I'm not a huge fan of that.
I would say Brady has become more about himself in recent years with the company and getting more involved with social media and with the media in general, more endorsements. And Belichick, as always, is just about the team, which is why, if you look at it objectively, moving on to Garoppolo in the next year or two for the team would be the smart thing.
Right.
Because Tom Brady's going to stay at the same level until he's 45. I'm sorry, like, maybe it will happen, but I'm sorry, but that's probably not going to happen.
There's no chance in that happening. And I don't begrudge Brady for going out and looking into his, you know, after football life. Because how many guys do we see, you know, 10, 15, 20 years down the road have no money left after their football careers? It's a lot of them.
Now, yeah,
that's not a problem for Tom Brady.
No, I know.
Not everyone's married. Who made more money than him?
Well, okay, but that's even still, like, you can't begrudge someone for setting up the rest of their life. I mean, he's only going to be 42, 43, 44 years old when he finally does retire. He's going to set up the rest of his life. And I understand he has plenty of money, but things happen. We see these athletes find ways to blow it all the time. I'm not saying that's going to be Tom Brady, but I can't begrudge him for that.
What happens if ESPN comes to him after the season and says, we'll pay you $20 million to take over for John Gruden in the booth?
Don't go to ESPN. No, never go to ESPN.
Yeah, Brady working for ESPN?
No.
Let's talk about some of the other stuff that was in the story as far as the Guerrero stuff. Other players feeling uncomfortable because they felt like they had to deal with Guerrero to appease Brady and the friction that caused. The bottom line, this Guerrero guy needs to take a hike because you're getting in the middle of Tommy and you're getting in the middle of Bill. You need to go. I mean, he's not going to go, but I'm not happy with Guerrero.
So you don't want him involved with Brady in any aspect?
I mean, that's asking the impossible because he's in with Brady now.
Right.
But life would be a lot easier for everyone if Guerrero was not there.
But is Brady playing this way right now because of his relationship with Guerrero?
I think Guerrero's a quack, honestly.
So you think it's just that Brady's in unbelievable shape and that everything that Guerrero is...
I'm sure some of this pliability BS, maybe some of this is true and he doesn't eat tomatoes and all this garbage. But bottom line, this guy Guerrero is a quack.
I mean, when did tomatoes become unhealthy? That was mind-blowing for me. Did you see Guerrero's post today? He actually came out on Twitter and made a statement about all of it.
Yeah.
And he almost kind of alludes to the fact that people think he's a quack. You know, he says, yeah, I know my methods are questionable and that, you know, mainstream people...
Like 10 years ago, he had some kind of supplement or drink that he said would help cure cancer. And there was a lawsuit against him for that.
Yeah, that was bad.
I mean, this guy has a shady background.
No, he definitely does. But the fact remains that whether his methods work or not, Tom Brady thinks that they work. And there's something to be said for a placebo effect. I mean, what is it? 90% of sports is half mental. I mean, if he mentally feels like he's in a better position to play and that gives him confidence to go out there on the field and play at the highest level, it's hard to complain about that. Now, that being said, see him on your own time. He's your specialist. He's your guy. Doesn't need to be Julian Edelman's guy. Doesn't need to be Rob Gronkowski's guy. He certainly doesn't need to be in the training room with the team hired trainers.
Yeah, that part of the story, I definitely felt badly for the players who felt uncomfortable and for Belichick in his role as the head coach, that Guerrero was sort of going into areas he shouldn't have been.
Right, right. That's where his involvement obviously needs to take a back seat, and he's got to let the guys put in charge of football operations and the team and let them deal with it, training aspect, what have you. But, again, and I'll circle back to what I've said before about the Guerrero-Brady relationship is, again, I don't care, don't need him in the facility if that's what it takes, but you can't sever that relationship, right? Because if that's what the relationship is and that's what's going to keep Tom Brady playing for the next... Now you need Tom Brady for the next 3 to 5 years. You have no choice because you're going to have to come out and draft a quarterback in this draft, right? And he's going to have to be the heir apparent now, right? You traded Jacoby Brissett. You traded Jimmy Garoppolo. Here you are with Tom Brady for the next 3 or 4 years, and now all of a sudden you're in a situation where you have to develop the next guy. Now, I think they can. They can develop the next guy, just like they developed Jimmy Garoppolo, but you have to keep Brady appeased. Now, if this comes to a situation where it's dump Guerrero or Brady says, I'm done, then obviously Tom Brady's going to have to make that decision.
Now, the Jacoby Brissett trade is an interesting angle to look at, because why would Belichick have traded Brissett if he knew that he was also going to be trading Garoppolo and then he was going to be left with no one at backup quarterback?
Right.
So something happened between the trade of Brissett and the trade of Garoppolo, whether it was Brady telling Kraft and then Kraft saying to Bill, you've got to trade Garoppolo. Something happened between the Brissett trade and the Garoppolo trade. And that's where I think Wickersham, you know, there's some truth to what he's reporting.
Well, and listen, Wickersham's not the only one to say that there's something going on in there. We've heard Tommy Curran say it. We've heard Mike Girardi say it. We've heard Bedard say it as well. These are well-known guys. These are well-respected guys within the industry, guys with connections to the team. So Wickersham's not out here on an island by himself. He's got other people on this island with him. Now, that being said, my biggest issue with all of this is here in New England, we've had a saying over the years, in Bill we trust, and we've blindly followed Bill. So if Kraft is starting to get involved with team decisions and it's not in Bill we trust
anymore.
That's
what could set Bill off.
That sets me off. I mean, Bill's the guy.
Yeah.
He's the, been the personnel guy, and he's been the coach. I mean, we could give Matt Patricia a ton of credit, but we know Belichick's got a huge hand in that defense.
Oh, yeah.
So, yeah, obviously, Belichick, the whole Brissett to Garoppolo thing, it's obvious that Belichick was under the impression that he was going to be able to throw money at Garoppolo, or at least have a chance to throw money at Garoppolo. And there's a report out there now that they offered him, what, $17, $18 million over the next 3 or 4 years with some possible incentives in there, and he said no.
I've seen reports saying that that wasn't the case. I mean, so that's one that we're not sure.
Right, that's, yeah. That's not confirmed, yeah. But it's out there.
I mean, there's no doubt that they were willing to let Jimmy Garoppolo continue to wait for the starting position, even if it was 3 more years. I mean, what's Garoppolo now, 26 years old?
26.
So that would have put him at 29. I believe Aaron Rodgers took over in Green Bay at 27. So it would have put them, you know, a couple years behind that that age spectrum. But still, I don't know. I think we'll get to it later. I'm just not completely sold on what Jimmy Garoppolo would have been as a starter here. I think Jimmy Garoppolo would have been better here than I know he was 5-0 in San Francisco, but I just wasn't completely sold on what Jimmy Garoppolo could do.
If Jimmy hadn't gone 5-0 with San Francisco, I don't even know if the story would be right, out there, because there wouldn't be as much friction, and there wouldn't be as many people saying, look at what Jimmy's doing over in San Francisco.
But this is where the story started, right? It started with the Garoppolo trade. Now all of a sudden everybody's digging to see why that trade happened, and now they're going to go and be like, okay, we don't have Spygate, we don't have Deflategate, we don't have friction. Wow, it's been really quiet in New England this year, and all of a sudden, boom, here comes this story. Again, I said at the top of the show that I believe there is some truth to some of these stories, but there's too many things that were put in that article that are false information. Okay, and things that there's no way they're true, that I have to discredit the entire thing, because you can't build in lies to make your story a little bit more believable.
So before we leave the story and get to some big, bold 2018 predictions, how does this affect the Patriots in this playoff run? To me, it motivates them, and they'll be winning their 6th Super Bowl.
Yeah, I mean, there's no question in my mind. This is, we already saw the joint statement from Kraft, Brady, and Belichick. Right now, they're at least putting up the front that they're of one mind, and I think they're going to put that front up to the rest of the organization and team as well. And even before this whole thing came out, I thought the Patriots were going to go on to the Super Bowl. Now there's no doubt in my mind. Isn't it like Bill Belichick has this article like plastered up on the whiteboard in the meeting room saying they're coming after us again, boys. Like let's
even,
do our thing.
And even it could be motivation for Brady to prove Belichick wrong and for Belichick to prove Brady wrong, and then they're both celebrating a 6th Super Bowl.
I don't think it's extra motivation. I mean, I think if anything, the distraction might actually hurt them this year. Do I think they're still going to go to the Super Bowl? Yes, because the rest of the AFC sucks. That's why they're going to the Super Bowl, because nobody's coming to New England and beating them, right? I mean, are you kidding me? The Bills, if they beat Jacksonville or the Chiefs, no, there's no way. So they're going to get there by default of the AFC being a terrible conference, and then we'll see what happens when they play Atlanta in a rematch.
All right, so with the playoff field the way it is, let's all make our Super Bowl predictions.
Yeah. Well, I just said mine. I'm going Patriots versus Atlanta.
Okay, so a rematch.
I think it's a rematch, and who knows? I mean, Atlanta has got to go on the road 3 times and play, but I'm going with the rematch. I'm going New England and Atlanta.
I like Patriots and Rams. I like what the Rams have as a head coach, a good young head coach, creative, innovative, and Todd Gurley's unstoppable right now. Patriots can't stop the guys from running the football, and if they can't stop it, no one can stop it. That guy ran all over the Seattle defense, and their quarterback is good enough for me, and their defense is also good enough. And I don't think anyone else in the NFC can put together a good enough run that has the consistency to beat the LA Rams. I like the Rams.
I'm going to go Patriots over Vikings. Minnesota will be playing at home in the Super Bowl, but the Patriots will still win, and they'll win their 6th Super Bowl. Okay, let's go to our big, bold 2018 predictions. It doesn't have to be sports. It can be whatever. Right. Most of them probably will be sports. Yeah. What's the big one that you're looking at?
My
right
first
now?
One, and we might as well – I'll stick with my topic. It's going to go into the 2018 season and Jimmy Garoppolo. Obviously, that's going to carry over.
He'll finally lose a game?
2019. Well, he's going to finally lose, but the 49ers will not make the playoffs. Everybody's hot on them. And Jimmy Garoppolo will be lucky to win 6 games next year with the 49ers. I think with more film on him, and give me a break. He played a weak schedule he beat one good team in Jacksonville that was struggling down the stretch. He then beat a Rams team that rested everybody. Jimmy Garoppolo is a good quarterback. I still don't think he was the answer in New England, and I think he's going to be average with San Francisco.
What will their record be?
I'm going 6-10
wow.
next year. So
wow.
Same exact record as they had this season.
Got any big bold predictions?
I'm going to go the opposite of you. I think the that Garoppolo has a great season next year. I think it might even be comparable, if not equivalent, to Brady's season next year. And I say San Francisco, I still don't think they're a good enough team. I say 9-7 next year for the 49ers.
I mean, that might be good enough next year to win the West.
It absolutely could be.
Here's a big, bold one. Nothing to do with football. Tiger Woods will win a major in 2018.
Oh, man.
That's a good one.
That's a big, bold prediction.
That is bold.
I'm not just the PGA tournament. He'll win a major.
That is bold.
He's going to win a major. You know what?
And I'm not a Tiger guy. I've always been a Phil guy.
Yep, me too.
But I'm going bold, and I'm going big.
I actually agree with that. I think
could be the Masters, because that's where he's most comfortable.
I think he'll win, but I think it's going to be at the Open, the British Open. Is where he comes back and he wins it. Yeah, that's a good one.
I like that one.
All right, we'll get to some more bold predictions in the after show, which is only on the podcast. But let's, for now, go to our final interruptions. And, Josh, you're up first.
All right, here's my final interruption. USA Soccer, disgrace to the soccering world. And here's why. You bring back a coach in Bruce Arians Bruce Arena, sorry. Football on the mind, you bring back a coach who was in the program almost a decade beforehand, and you expect to make the World Cup. And the fact that you don't make the World Cup anyways is horrific. You play in CONCACAF. For those of you who aren't big soccer fans, CONCACAF is the worst conference in the world. The biggest competition, Mexico and Costa Rica. Now, Mexico, fine. You don't win the group. Mexico wins the group. I understand that. It's a soccer-crazed country. A fairly large population. But you lose out to Costa Rica and Panama? Panama. You owned
Say
Panama.
It again.
You owned Panama, United States, and you still lose out to them? And Costa Rica is like the size of a thumbnail compared to the United States. It's a disgrace. The program's a mess. It's full of corruption like the rest of FIFA, as we all saw with the arrests over the several years. And for me, the United States in my lifetime will never, ever win a World Cup.
Sad. Okay, Logan.
Wow, that's a good one. Next month, when the 2018 Olympics open in South Korea, there will be one noticeable difference when the puck drops in the hockey tournament. The players of the NHL are not allowed to partake in Olympic competition this year, per the ruling by Commissioner Gary Bettman. This will be the first time since the 1998 tournament that no current NHL player will be playing. Instead, it will be the young guns, some college players, and those who just can't shake a professional roster anymore. One of those players who will lace them up for the Americans is former Boston College great and Buffalo Sabre and Montreal Canadian captain Brian Gionta. Other than that, yes, it will still be an intriguing roster for the Americans, a team that has not won gold since 1980. Only two gold medals for the Team USA since then, 1960 being the other. For those who don't watch because the NHL players are not playing, will be actually missing out this year. In fact, if you're looking for the Americans to break a 38-year drought, this very well may be the year. So why not make one more bold prediction for the 2018 season? My recommendation is to watch in February and root for the red, white, and blue. They'll be your 2018 gold medal winners in South Korea.
All right, we'll be looking for that. And the Olympics begin in, what, about a month?
In a month,
right?
Yeah.
In about a month. All right, time for my final interruption, and it goes back to our top story about the Patriots drama. All of this Patriots drama should bring things into perspective, especially for Patriots fans, of which I am one. I've loved this team since I first knew what football was. I loved Drew Bledsoe. I loved Ben Coates. I loved Bill Parcells. And I've been spoiled rotten for the last 17 years since this amazing run began when Brady took over under center. Bill and Tom have created absolute magic together. And while some or all of this drama may be true, what is also true is the 5 Super Bowl wins, 7 Super Bowl appearances, and being a playoff contender every single year. So if this player-coach marriage is indeed coming to the end of its run, then by God, savor every minute of it. It has to come to an end at some point. So please, everyone, enjoy the ride. Look back at how awesome it was. And let's look forward to at least one more Super Bowl push. And somehow, after all they've accomplished, the next title will maybe be the sweetest. Team predictions. Loaded, you have, what else did you
have? Yeah, I'll start. I'll save one of my, I have two more, but I'll save my last sports take for the last one. I'll go off the cuff and go on the politics end. And I'm going to make a bold prediction because we're going to get into the area where people are going to start announcing their candidacy for president.
Oh, who you got?
I'm saying that although she says she's not going to, Hillary Clinton will once again run.
I don't think so. I love Hillary. She's not going to run again.
Guaranteed Hillary
She's
runs.
Not going to run again. No. Well, you think she is going to run again?
Oh, 100%. That lady will run every year until she's in her grave.
I don't think so. I don't think she's going to run, and I loved Hillary. I had a Hillary bumper sticker. But the Democratic side is going to have like 20 people running, but
Joe Biden
is absolutely running.
He's going to run. Is Sanders going to run again?
Sanders going to run
what
again.
What about Michelle? Does Michelle run eventually?
Michelle will not run. Michelle Mandino might run, but not Michelle Obama. Liz Warren will run.
Liz Warren.
There's going to be a huge field, but I don't think Hillary's going to run again.
I'm just making a bold
That
prediction.
Is bold, though. It That's is. Bolder than my Tiger Woods winning a major.
I'm 100% behind that, Lodi. Hillary Clinton on the 2020 Democratic ticket.
She's got to run. All right, here's one. Along the political lines, I am going to predict that the guy who sits in the White House, President Trump, will resign via tweet in 2018.
Wow.
And he'll blame everyone else. It won't have anything to do with him because, remember, he is a stable genius, but he will resign via tweet.
How many characters will he use?
He'll use up, well, it's 280 now, right?
It'll
be a long one.
It'll carry over.
It'll be one
of his multiple tweets.
It'll be more than 140, but it'll happen. He'll resign via tweet.
Wow, resign. That's a whole new level of
if Trump is ever going to resign, it has to be via tweet, doesn't it? He's the president.
Well, that's the only way it's going to go down, right?
Yeah.
What if they impeach him via Twitter? What if they announce his impeachment on Twitter?
That would be awesome.
I can see that too. Any other big bold predictions?
I have a big bold prediction. I'm going to stay with my soccer theme. I'm going to go with the 2018 World Cup. Das Machine, as I call them, the Germans, they will win their second straight World Cup. Their second as a unified country. I just think that as good as Brazil and Argentina are skill-wise, I just don't think anyone can break down the Germans. They have the best goalkeeper, best back line, a very strong midfield. Germany will be hoisting the 2018 World Cup.
Okay.
World Cup. We won't get much discussion from Lodi and I.
No, I know, but you know, I got to stick. My teammates are listening from back at Framingham State. They had a lot of praise for us, so I thought I'd give them a little soccer bone there.
I love it.
Did you have any more?
My other bold prediction, and I know this, sometimes they can run to the 2018-2019 season, but I think this fits, is all of the sports teams in Boston or New England, the Patriots, the Red Sox, the Celtics, and the Bruins,
are going
to make the Final Four of their respective sport. I think the Patriots are going to the finals. I think the Bruins lose to Tampa in the Eastern Conference Finals, which would be – actually, they can't do that because they match up, so the Capitals, right, which I think will be huge for them because I don't think anybody predicted that. I think the Celtics will go to the NBA Finals and lose to the Warriors, and I think the Red Sox will match up with the Yankees and lose in a seven-game series.
In the ALCS. This shows how big of Boston homers we both are because one of the big bold predictions that I wrote down was that two Boston teams will make it to the championship round.
Okay.
So whether it's Patriots
so
in the Super Bowl.
So mine wasn't as bold as that, but still,
well,
they have all
bold
four.
All be no, in the, all at least like the conference
yeah.
finals.
All four of them.
The two that I think the Patriots, since we're all – and again, we're all Boston homers. Patriots will win the Super Bowl, we all think.
Yeah.
And then probably the second team of my, you know, two that are in the championship round would be the Celtics.
Yeah.
But I think the Bruins are looking pretty decent, yeah. And the Red Sox are going to have another good year.
I think the Red Sox don't make the playoffs this year.
Wow.
That's a bold prediction.
I think Alex Cora is not going to be a good manager. I think that those young guys have hit a ceiling, and I don't think the Red Sox make the playoffs this year.
I was going to take it two directions with the Red Sox, and I still think their roster is that good that they can make the – you know, make it to the American League East Final. American League Finals. But would it surprise me to go the other way? No. Like, if I were to make the other bold prediction, I would say that Alex Cora is fired after this year, and they hire Joe Girardi, right? So if Alex Cora doesn't work out, Joe Girardi is sitting there.
Right.
Like, but I think Alex Cora works out. I just think that roster is way too good, and it's going to be Dave Dombrowski that goes before Alex Cora.
But I don't know if they're injury proof. Are they? I feel like they're one injury away and the season's over.
They could be. It depends. The pitching is the key.
All right, here's another big bold prediction on the politics side.
Yeah.
There will be a male politician who goes down in the same vein that Matt Lauer went down, that Weinstein went down. there'll be another big shoe will drop in 2018.
Oh, I'll bet.
I can't speculate who it will be, but that's an easy prediction.
I bet my life savings on that at this point. It's like, I think I wake up every morning and I go on, you know, Barstool or Twitter. I'm thinking to myself, let's see who, you know, who's getting allegations against them today.
Right.
Like, that's really what it feels like.
Somebody knew.
Now, speaking of Barstool, do we want to make a big, bold prediction on what's going to happen with KFC? KFC Gate is upon us.
KFC is out of Barstool by the end of 2018.
That's a big bold prediction.
I'm a big Barstool guy. I've been reading a lot of the comments and a lot of the blogs, and it's not good for our for your boy KFC.
I said that actually pre-show, that I wouldn't be surprised if he were to leave, right. But I don't. I mean,
where
else is he going to make the salary? I mean, I'm assuming he's making good bank there.
He definitely is. I mean,
he's one of the core guys who got equity in the company.
Yeah, and he hosts at least three podcasts on a regular basis. Right. But I think, like, if you look at his following, it was a lot of women were part of his base, and even the men on Barstool were tearing him apart for cheating on his pregnant wife. By the way, not cool, KFC. Not cool. I think he's out. I think he's out by the end of the year.
There we go. That's another big bold prediction.
All right.
Any other ones before we? Because I want to talk about the Celtics. Some Celtics stuff.
Yeah. I think I'm good.
That was all I had.
I got one more. I think the Oakland Raiders under John Gruden win the AFC West next year.
Win the division.
Yeah,
okay.
They win the division next year. Oakland Raiders
under John Gruden. Wow.
So let's go to that Celtics drama that we didn't get to touch on earlier. The drama surrounding Isaiah Thomas and the montage that's going to play for him. It didn't play the other night because he didn't suit up, so they're saving it for the next time Cleveland comes to play the Celtics, but that's the same night that Paul Pierce's jersey is being retired. Pierce says, this night should be all about me. I know you had wanted to rant about this. I think this is so stupid. Who gives a crap? Play the montage before the game, during the first timeout. It's not going to take away from Pierce's night. I understand Pierce is being a little sensitive, but come on, is this really a thing?
It's
stupid.
I'm behind Paul Pierce on this one. He played the vast majority
of... And I'm a huge Paul Pierce fan. I love the Celtics. I'm a Paul Pierce guy. I just think it's dumb.
Well, listen, Paul Pierce, the truth, is giving you what he thinks is the truth, and I agree with him.
But doesn't it make him look a little sensitive?
No, because, listen, Isaiah Thomas, first of all, Isaiah Thomas, you're a coward because you didn't play against the Celtics, and I know you couldn't play back-to-back. But if you don't think Isaiah Thomas...
I think he definitely wanted to play, but I'm sure the doctors...
Listen,
because he played the night before, they don't want to play back-to-back.
Okay, so don't play the night before.
Make your return against... Well, the Cavaliers didn't want the optics of, here's Isaiah's first game back, and now look at Kyrie Irving taking it to him.
But do you really think Isaiah Thomas could have just gone to LeBron and been like, I want to play against the Celtics, LeBron would have been like, all right, I'll make that happen. Because Tyronn Lue doesn't do anything for that team. He doesn't run that team.
Maybe it was Isaiah being a coward and he didn't want to get embarrassed.
I think that might be part of it because he knew his team would be on a back-to-back. Listen, he's been talking smack for the better part of this entire season about like how the Celtics treated him. And I think, first of all, I think he's been a huge hypocrite about that, as I mentioned in our last show. But yeah, Isaiah Thomas, coward, should have played. I think it was a low move by him. And they should have just played the montage anyways. He was there.
Right.
He was there. He was on the bench in like a
Cavs
sweatsuit.
That was my initial thought, was
that's
just
so
play
thunder,
it.
Right. Yeah.
The first, just play it there. Yeah, he's not playing, but he's there. He can wave to the crowd. Yeah. You play the little two-minute montage, and it's over.
He's still got a standing ovation. And listen, Paul Pierce, like I said, he gave over a decade to this team. He was here when they won their first championship since the 80s. I mean, let him have his night. He deserves to have his own night. He stuck with this franchise when they were terrible, unwatchably bad.
I will say this about, the Paul Pierce night, and that is the Celtics scheduled...
Are they doing it at halftime, or are they doing
a
ceremony
after the game?
Yeah.
And they scheduled it, I think, purposely against Cleveland, just because it was Cleveland Celtics, and they knew they have a great crowd no matter what. They also scheduled it before the Kyrie trade, before the Gordon Hayward signing, because they knew that before those signings or that trade, that they would probably get their ass kicked, right, in that game against Cleveland. So they were like, all right, this is the only way to keep people interested. Oh, Paul Pierce night. Now they're going to do it after the game. They can keep people there the whole entire time.
That's what the Celtics screwed up in the first place. What I also think happened was the Celtics were being careful, and they decided – Well, they so are you saying that they decided to do the Paul Pierce? You're saying they decided this before all of those signings happened?
Yes.
Because I didn't realize that, because my thinking was they chose to do it the second time Cleveland was in Boston, because the first time they knew would be all about Isaiah coming back.
Oh.
So they saved it for the second one, and then this ends up happening, and it bites them in the butt. But you're saying that
that was already done. And if I'm gonna side on one or the other, I think it's silly. I think it should be a non-story. But I got to side with Paul Pierce, right? He was here for 15 years. Isaiah Thomas was here for two. I don't care.
So you don't think I obviously side with Paul Pierce. I'll side with Paul Pierce over Isaiah Thomas.
Right.
But you don't think Paul Pierce complaining about this makes him look a little childish?
Oh, I think it makes him look for sure. It makes him look childish. Now I'm not going to go all the way out and say and be the contrarian that Nick Wright is, who shouldn't be on TV on Fox, right? And says, oh, Isaiah.
But if you want to come on the podcast.
Isaiah Thomas accomplished more in 2 years and meant more to the Celtics in 2 years than what Paul Pierce meant in 15.
That is ridiculous.
That's outrageous.
That's outrageous, right. The outrageous segment. Maybe we'll bring
it's
that back.
It's back, baby.
Bring that back on the show. But Isaiah Thomas's tribute should have been played on Wednesday night.
100%.
Plain and simple. Play it on Wednesday night. Let the Paul Pierce thing happen when the Paul Pierce thing happened. End of story, all right? Isaiah could have easily had his family there that night. I know he wasn't going to play, but you could have still had the family there.
I also don't understand. Why does his family have to be there for a two-minute montage? Like, it's not that big of a thing. Why do you need your family to be there when they're playing this stupid video? I mean, just watch the video on TV. That was one of his arguments, is that my family's not going to be here to see a two-minute video? Give me a break.
I mean, I'm sure he can get a copy of it. I mean, right? Like,
yeah.
He could have just gotten a copy. You can have a copy of it forever. We have these amazing things called DVDs nowadays. or even YouTube. You can watch it on YouTube on repeat all you want, Isaiah Thomas. There's probably a bunch of tributes for you on there already.
Mm-hmm.
No, but it's stupid. It should be a non-issue. The Celtics should have made it a non-issue by not even considering playing it on Paul Pierce night. Because is Paul Pierce being a little bit babyish by using the Twitter machine to complain? I think anyone who uses Twitter...
He said it on ESPN.
He said it on ESPN TV.
First.
He said it on TV. Yeah.
Okay.
Sorry, I know we don't like to say that four-letter word here.
That is a four-letter word you can't say. We'll bleep it up.
But, like, I would feel the same way. Like, if I gave 15 years of my life to an organization and I was the best player by far over that 15 years, and I was a good citizen for that 15 years I was here, and you're going to tell me that some guy who played here for 2.5 years is going to get a montage on my night, I'd be a little upset. I think I can see where Paul Pierce is coming from.
Now, the Celtics are obviously a organization that has all this great, allure to them. They've won 17 championships. Paul Pierce is probably, a top five player in their history? Would you say that? You're a bigger Celtics fan than anybody else, especially here.
It's close.
Right? He's definitely top 10, but there's so many guys.
There's so many guys, right? So, again, Isaiah Thomas met a lot in 2 years. I mean, there's no doubt he's the reason why they were able to turn this thing around so quickly, right? But let's not pretend that Isaiah Thomas...
He's barely a blip on the Celtic history radar.
Right.
Although he's going to become more important after the fact because he was in the trade for Kyrie Irving.
Right.
And he helped get Gordon Hayward here. So he's going to actually do more.
Well, the big thing is Isaiah recruited...
And he recruited Horford.
Yeah. He recruited Gordon Hayward.
He's the guy who got traded for Kyrie Irving.
So when the Celtics win multiple titles...
With Kyrie Irving,
when Isaiah
and Hayward,
Thomas signs elsewhere,
then we'll send Isaiah a ring and we'll play a montage when he comes back.
There you go. Why can't the montage be played next year? Play it next year when he comes in playing for the team that's probably going to win 17 games, 18 games if it wasn't for him on the roster.
Because they're giving him a max.
Is he going to resign with Cleveland?
No, because LeBron's leaving.
LeBron's leaving, and that's what I forgot. That was one.
No one heard me complaining when nobody played a Rim and Pride montage when I came back to the Pegasus.
Does LeBron James, I know this is shifting gears a bit, does LeBron James resign with Cleveland?
Is this a big
I just don't know. It's just your thought.
My thought is that he goes to the Lakers.
Okay.
That's what I've been thinking.
Yeah, he goes to the Lakers. I think
my prediction is I don't think he resigns. If he doesn't, he's a member of the Houston Rockets.
Wow.
All right.
That's, I think.
How do they make room for him with Chris Paul and James Harden as far as salary wise.
Well, you can afford three max contracts.
Miami made it work with three
Philadelphia
guys too.
With those young players potentially.
I just think he's bored in the East and he's going to the West and he's been. I mean, how many championships can you go to? You know, he doesn't care about losing in the finals. Right.
Well, he's done it. Yeah, he's done it plenty.
While people
he's really, really good at it.
While people in the NFL are discrediting the Patriots and Tom Brady because they went to Super Bowls and lost, they're saying 5-1 in the Super Bowl is better than 5-4. I'd rather go to more championships.
He's 5-2 in the Super Bowl.
Well, the Patriots as an organization are 5-4.
Right.
In their whole entire organizational lifetime.
Right? I don't think he works with James Harden.
I don't know.
Because I think those guys both need the ball in their hand a lot.
They do, but LeBron James, I do give LeBron James a lot of credit. He is for as good as he is, and I would say it's Michael Jordan, then him, would be my top two. He is a good facilitator of the basketball.
No, he certainly is, but I think...
And I don't like LeBron James. I mean, I cannot root for LeBron James.
But James Harden...
No, you can't question his greatness, and I've never been a fan of his, but he's, as a basketball player, he's a great basketball player. There's no question.
I'm not a fan.
One of the all-time greats.
I'm a fan of LeBron, the basketball player. Despise LeBron, the human being.
Well, why don't the Celtics just go after him in the offseason?
No, hard pass.
LeBron comes to Boston, I'll be the biggest LeBron fan there is.
No, I can't root for LeBron.
Would you take Kyrie or LeBron?
LeBron.
No, I'm thinking Kyrie.
Kyrie over the next 10 years or LeBron over the next four?
Well, that's where it gets interesting. Right. And that's kind of the Brady Garoppolo question.
But remember,
Kyrie has proved a lot more in his career than Garoppolo has. If this goes full circle back to that discussion.
But remember what you get with LeBron is like the subtle knocks at his teammates on social media, which I just can't get behind at all. Kevin Love, I'm looking at you, man. I feel for you, Kevin Love.
Right. All right, we've got a few minutes left. Let's go to the national championship on Monday.
Yep.
Any predictions?
Alabama. Alabama. I mean, I thought Alabama and Georgia would win their respective games last week. Alabama is too good defensively. Nick Saban will outcoach Kirby Smart, who used to coach for him, just like Belichick would outcoach any of his disciples. Alabama by 20.
I don't think it'll be that big of a blowout, but I think Alabama wins, and it will be fairly comfortable. Might be maybe by 10 points.
Yeah.
No, I'm with you, Lodi. I think the tide rolls.
Roll damn tide. And as much as I despise certain teams in professional sports, I hate Nick Saban. I hate Alabama.
I've developed a soft spot for Nick Saban in Alabama because they are the New England Patriots of college football.
That's what I was
so people say to me, like, how can you?
So not, I actually can, root for them sometimes.
How can you root for the Patriots and not root for Alabama? But because they're like the same thing to their sport. I don't know. Nick Saban is just nobody I can root for.
I like Alabama too. I want to give a master movie review before we end. I, Tanya, the movie about Tanya Harding and the Tanya Harding Nancy Kerrigan movie. It's fantastic.
I've heard really good things. It's a must-see.
It's really
Did
funny.
Did it just come out?
It's came out in the last couple weeks.
Okay.
Probably going to get some Oscar nominations. Great movie. It's funny. Allison Janney plays her mom, who is like the cruelest mother you've ever seen. So go out and see I, Tanya. Highly recommend. It's going to get some Oscar buzz.
Just to go back to college football real quick, too. Shout out to the real national champions, UCF. Undefeated season. Parade at Disney World this upcoming Monday. That's going to be the most bizarre story of all time. But it shows you that there is a problem with the college football playoffs.
And I would, another bold prediction, and maybe it won't be decided this year, but there's going to be more than four teams in that playoff eventually. It's going to move to
100%.
It might eventually move to 16.
It has to.
Yeah. Well, I think 8 is the max that you can do, and I think you automatically send the winners of the top five of the major conferences.
Yeah.
and then the three at-large bids.
Exactly.
Because Alabama obviously deserves to be in the finals because they're the best team in college football, but they did not deserve, based off what they did in losing to Auburn, to be in the top four.
Because then UCF goes in. I mean, obviously, you cannot use that for a gauge, but UCF beat Auburn.
I know.
And you know what? Honestly, like, the NCAA loves to make money. You get an 18 playoff, you're going to make more money. And I don't want to watch really horrible bowls anymore. I can't watch 6-6 teams play each other anymore. Get rid of those games. They're terrible.
On that note, nice rant to end on. For my two other staple geniuses, Matt Lodi, Josh Arno,
Stables,
I'm Dan Master.
Stable's loose term.
Very loose. We'll see you next time. This is Around the Interruption.